This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton joins me live in studio. He's online at rickbritton.com. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm tired. You ever been to Naples, Florida?
I have not been to Naples.
It's very pretty.
Yeah?
It's very...
What were you doing in Naples?
I wasn't spending much money, let me put it that way. And if I had, it wouldn't even compare to the money that was just being spent down there. It's very wealthy. I mean, it's just... The place just drips with money.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking to the UVA Alumni Club of Southwest Florida.
Nice.
Last night, yeah, we had a great turnout, a big event down there. And, you know, I get to stand up and... Talk about Jefferson and UVA. You know what that's like.
Cool.
There's a lot of fun.
It's
so much fun.
Preaching to the converted.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. What's going on?
Well, the talk I had last week on Edgar Allan Poe at Mickey Tavern, that got postponed because of the snow that we had that day. So the next one coming up is a week from today. It's on Thursday, February 10th. And that's on Lafayette's visit here in 1824. It starts at 11 o'clock, and then we do the lecture about Lafayette. Then we're going to go and have something to eat. It's $25 a person, and if you're interested, call 977-1234.
There you go.
Really
good stuff.
Easy to remember. Yep.
Now, we want to
yep.
open up the phone lines at 977-1070, and we have a quiz question about Mr. Jefferson, do we not?
We absolutely do. You ready?
All right.
Okay.
Fire away.
What was Thomas Jefferson's middle name? Was it A, Alva? Was it B, Jackson? Was it C, none of the above?
977-1070, your chance to win some Domino's pizza, thanks to our good friends at Domino's. And we'll give you three tries at it. 977-1070 is the phone number. You want to give me a quick call. If you think you know Thomas Jefferson's middle name, we'll go to the phones. Caller, what's your first name?
Chris,
how are you? Happy Little Friday.
Thank you.
And Rick asked the question one more time. So
here we go. You ready? What was Thomas Jefferson's middle name? Was it A, Alva? Was it B, Jackson? Was it C, none of the above?
I'm going with C, none of the above.
Absolutely right.
Yay!
Good job, Chris. Now, how did you know that?
They just didn't sound right. I really don't know what his middle name is, but it didn't seem like I had ever heard either of those two.
You didn't think he was Thomas Alva Jefferson?
Chris, you have a great afternoon. Hold on just a minute, and Channing's going to hook you up with some Domino's pizza. That's how we roll. We love to give it away, all the good stuff here on The Little Show. And set us straight now. Did he have a middle name?
He actually did not have a middle name. No middle name. So that's why he's just Thomas Jefferson.
And why was that? Was it just a family tradition?
I'm not sure.
Because some people would have like six names, and then other people would just have
a
surname, and that was it.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. I'll let you know next time.
All right.
He just didn't have one.
No middle name.
No middle name, right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Certainly not Alva.
That's right.
We
that would
have
be Edison.
Our continuing conversation about Thomas Jefferson's greatest hits.
That's right. And we're up to, we've done three or four so far already, and we're up to the building of his house, the designing of Monticello number one, because as everybody probably realizes, what we see today is Monticello number two. So that property on the little mountain, on Monticello Mountain, he inherited from his father. I forget the exact amount of acreage, but it was about, I think it's about 3,500 that he inherited. It goes all the way down to the Rivanna River and ended up kind of surrounding, well, eventually he enlarged it, so it surrounded the town of Milton that was right nearby. So he played up there when he was young and fell in love with that property, and I think what he fell in love with first, as everybody else does who visits Monticello, is the view from up there. He was very fond with his boyhood friend Dabney Carr of doing their reading up there, taking their school books up there, and reading under a favorite oak tree. And then, of course, Dabney Carr married one of Jefferson's sisters and then died very young at 30, and they had made a pact that whoever died first, the buddy would bury him under that oak tree. And that's how the cemetery on Monticello Mountain got started.
Oh,
Dabney
cool.
Carr, the first one interred up there, Jefferson honoring that boyhood pack to his brother and to his brother-in-law and boyhood friend. So Jefferson starts constructing up there in 1768. the top of the mountain had a little cone on it. It was not like we see it today. So that cone had to be leveled. So in 1768, he contracted with a gentleman here in this area, and a bunch of slaves were sent up there to the top of the mountain with wheelbarrows and shovels and pickaxes. As you can imagine, they needed to create a plane to put the house on, and in order to have that huge west lawn. If you think of the southwest lawn outside of the garden entrance, that's pretty big. I mean, you could almost play football on that west lawn. So that's a pretty good size plane.
Do we know where they then dumped the top of the mountain when they took it off?
I am so glad you asked that question, because what he did was...
I love asking this. Questions that you definitely know the answer to.
I love
I can
it when
see
you
it
ask
in your,
questions.
In your face.
Yeah, oh,
you're like,
yeah.
Sweet!
Get that twinkle. They constructed a wall on the eastern side of the mountain and dumped that earth over there and created that 1,000-foot-long vegetable garden on the eastern side of the mountain.
So that's where the top of the mountain is.
That's the earth that was formerly at the top of the mountain.
Wow, very cool.
He created his vegetable. Pretty smart.
And, of course, the first Monticello.
Always thinking, Mr. Jefferson.
The first Monticello, I've seen conceptual drawings of it, looked nothing like the what we recognize today. As a matter of fact, it was, you know... It was just looks like an old Virginia house. Very nice still. A porch on top, a porch below,
it
columns.
Does. Yeah, it's a two-story
pretty.
Porch. It's Palladian.
But not stunning. It wasn't like, wow, that's really cool looking.
Yeah, and a whole lot smaller. I mean, Monticello number one only had 8 rooms. So think about if he hadn't constructed Monticello number two... it would be kind of tough to tour through the house, and the tours
wouldn't last very long, would it?
A lot shorter. Absolutely right. So the great architectural mentor, of course, of Jefferson started studying some of the pattern books that were being passed around, some of the ones from England. But think about this. For a while in the United States, when Jefferson was young, there weren't any degrees that you could earn in architecture. So everybody here was an amateur architect, and that's something that goes along with the whole Enlightenment thought. There were amateur architects, of course, in England. So Jefferson started studying some of these pattern books, and then he fell in love with the master. And this is the man who these men from England were following in the footsteps of, and that was Andrea Palladio. 16th century Italian architect. And the big advantage that Palladio had is to get his designs, to get his ideas, to get his all of those little architectural niceties. He had traveled and measured and illustrated all of the extant Roman ruins.
Yeah.
So he traveled across Italy and Western Europe, found those Roman ruins, illustrated them, and measured them. The importance of that is if you want to properly reproduce a Corinthian column and you want to get that Corinthian capital and you want to get it exactly right, you need to know exactly what the originals looked like and have all the measurements.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the big advantage.
And Palladio was like that bridge between the true classical world of architecture and Jefferson's bringing that classical architecture into the new world.
Exactly. And that's why Jefferson is America's first, really, neoclassicist. And all that means is, in architecture, all that means is taking the old, what you just said, and bringing it up into the new world.
Yeah.
And, of course, adding some newer features, because you can't just build everything exactly like a Roman home.
Which is arguably exactly what he did with the language of liberty and freedom, which had existed
Absolutely.
For a while, back to the Scottish moralists. And, you know, you can find the foundations in the birth of the Enlightenment itself. And Jefferson took all those things, just like he was taking little designs.
Exactly. The best from the past. And bringing it forward.
That's it. Rick, we're going to have to continue this conversation
Absolutely.
Next time. And thank you so much for being here.
Thanks. Enjoyed it.
When we pick up next week with Rick Britton, we will continue to talk about Monticello. And we'll also look at Jefferson's service in the Continental Congress and his authorship of the Declaration of Independence.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.